Man, I'm so glad to be here. Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate the time when Jesus overcame death, overcame sin, overcame hell, and he totally defeated, destroyed his enemy. And so that has a direct effect on all of us, right? I want to ask you to pray with me, and then we're going to jump right into a message that I've entitled today, From Death to Life. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God, that literally in this room today, we're family and friends because you have brought us together under one purpose, that we would love Jesus and that we would love one another and that we surrender our life to you. And so, God, I ask in this moment, as we take just a few minutes to focus on the Word of God and to listen with our hearts, I know and I believe that you will speak to every individual in this room and minister to them in special and unique ways that only you can do. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen. So as we gather together, I have this real firm belief that God is present in a special way. God's always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But when we gather in a place like this, there's a powerful presence of God that we are aware of Him more than we normally are. Would you agree with that? As we sing the songs, as we give our offerings, as we listen to His Word. And so as we take just a minute here to look into the Scripture, I believe God's going to open your eyes to new things. Whether you've been a Christian for a long, long time or you're in here today and you're trying to make a decision if you want to be a follower of Christ, God will minister to every one of us. So today we celebrate the resurrection. We saw the video. We know the story factually that Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ died upon a cross. He was buried and 3 days later He rose from the dead. But I want to tell you today, there would be no Christianity, there would be no faith, there would be no worship of God if Jesus had not rose from the grave. Even if He would have died on the cross and gone to the grave, it wouldn't have been enough. He completed the act of salvation by raising from the dead, victorious over death today. From death to life is what Jesus offers every person on the planet. When He hung on the cross, He yelled out, "It is finished," because He knew without a doubt when He went to the grave, He was taking sin with Him and He was going to leave it there. And when He rose, He'd be victorious over sin, over death, and over hell. There is no enemy today that could defeat Jesus Christ because He has completed the work of salvation. And every person on this planet can avail themselves to the goodness of God simply by believing that Jesus died for your sins, that He forgave them and took them away, that when He rose from the dead, He made a place for you, and that you can go from death to life. See, Jesus was victorious, and we have a reason to celebrate today and forevermore, because He finished the work. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's called good news. You know what's good news? Because you don't get what you deserve. We deserve judgment. Jesus took our judgment. We deserve condemnation. Jesus was condemned. Literally, He took upon Him every wrong, every sin, everything that was ever committed wrong against any person in this planet. How did He do that? I can't factually explain that, but my heart knows it all too well that what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago makes a difference in my life every day. Today, I hope that by the time we walk out of here, I can convince you of one very important truth, and that would be this. Believing in Jesus takes us from death to life. In fact, I believe the Holy Spirit is present with us, as I've already said and prayed, and I believe the Holy Spirit is eager and willing to convince every one of us of this powerful truth, that Jesus can take us from death to life. John 3:16, we probably all memorized it as a child. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. From death to life, simply by believing in the Son of God. That's good news, church. When you come to the end of you, you will find Jesus paid it all, and you have to pay nothing. It is good news. Your heart knows it all too well. But I want to ask some questions today. Do you believe in Jesus? I can believe, Gabe can believe, your family members can believe, but the question isn't about everyone else today. The question is very, very individual and intimate. Do you believe in Jesus yourself? Have you surrendered control of your life to Him? Have you accepted His gift of forgiveness? Do you know for sure that if you were to pass from this life into the next life, that you would not perish? Do you know that? Because see, there's not a more important question that could be asked on Resurrection Sunday than do you personally know the power of this resurrection? You can be confident. The Bible clearly teaches that you can be for sure that your life with God eternally secure in Him. Simply by believing in Jesus Christ. Simply by surrendering control of your life to Him. Here's something I think has gotten lost in our current culture of church. We talk about Jesus as our Savior, but we don't talk about Jesus as our Lord. Do you realize predominantly in the New Testament, the way that Jesus is spoken of by the writers of the New Testament is He would be your Lord and Savior, not your Savior and Lord. Do you see the difference? What's important is that you surrender your life. It's impossible to follow Jesus Christ if you're going to have competing agendas. What I want, what He wants. What I want, what He wants. That's a recipe for chaos. Have you ever seen people who come to Jesus and give their life to Christ and they're more miserable now than they were before? Y'all know, y'all awake out there? I've literally seen people who look like they're happy and joyful, doing whatever they want. Then they come and they recognize, I need Jesus, I need forgiveness. They get in church and they get miserable. You know why? Because there's competing agendas. Nobody would ever say, well, I'm trying to choose death or life. Because that's real easy if you make it that plain. But when we choose our way and not His way, we're choosing death. See, the gospel is a call to surrender. It's good news. And I'm telling you, He's the most benevolent king you'll ever come in contact with. But He is our king. He is the one that leads our lives. We must surrender control of our lives to Jesus Christ. And then we receive eternal life. Man, I think that's a pretty good deal. What do you think? Y'all looking for deals out there? I think this is the best one I've ever found. See, I believe every person on this planet is searching for life, searching for something to fill the void. Guys, there's a lot of false substitutes out there. They promise you a lot, but they always come up short. They leave you disappointed and empty in the end. Let me tell you just a few. Money, fame, power, just a few. They promise you a lot of things, don't they? You know some of the most unhappy people I know are some of the most wealthy people I know? And we think in American culture that money will solve every problem. Well, it might buy you a boat and a truck to pull it. But it's not going to solve your problem in your heart. Some of y'all listen to some of that country music, don't you? That promises you a lot, doesn't it? That boat and that truck will leave you disappointed in the end. But the life that Jesus gives will never disappoint. The life that Jesus gives will never leave you empty. Some of you are wrestling with that statement. You go, well, I've been a Christian. I'm disappointed. I'm sorry to tell you that your hope was in something other than Jesus, because the scripture clearly says those who put their hope in Him will never be disappointed. So if you find yourself disappointed today, you need to reevaluate where you put your faith. Because sometimes as believers, we put our faith in an outcome that we think God wants for us, and God never intended that outcome, and we wind up disappointed, disenfranchised, disgusted, and outside the church. I guess you're here, so I might be talking to the wrong crowd. But you might have just decided to check it out because it's Easter Sunday. What is God saying to you through this message? Oh, I know what I want to say. I know what I want to deliver. I want to speak some truth. I want to tell you some stories. I want you to draw closer to Jesus. But what does God want you to hear this morning out of these words? Because I believe he's speaking to our hearts. See, the life that Jesus gives is fulfilling. It's ever increasing. It says in John 10:10 that he comes to give you life, life abundantly that's overflowing. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. I know last week I told you another favorite, but every one of them is my favorite. But that's a great one, isn't it? Life abundantly, life that overflows. That's why we're a life-giving church, because that's all we offer people is a real life relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all we have to give. I'm telling you what, that's very attractive, because the human soul is longing for the love that only Jesus can put in your heart. Because believing in Jesus takes us from death to life. John 3:16, I'm going to read it again. For God so loved the world. Say, God loved me. That he gave me his only begotten son. He did it for you. He did it for me. This isn't for someone else. It's very much individual. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Don't you love how the King James says that? Believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Woo! Man, that's the way my grandma used to say it. Do you know for sure that if you were to die tonight that you would not perish, that you would have eternal life? Because that's a really important question. By the way, eternal life doesn't just start in a final destination after this life. It starts now. Right. See, for all who believe in Jesus, life is now. And yes, it continues when you die, but we're not looking for fire insurance. So I'll put my faith in Jesus so when I die, I won't go to hell. What a weak place to live from when there's so much more in the gospel. There's a life full of power. There's a life full of overcoming. There's a life full of passion and love to share with the world around you. And you just want to know you're going to be okay when you croak? That's good. That's a good place to start. But what about now? I bet everybody who lives in your house would like you to think about now. And I think Jesus would like you to think about now, because when he called you, when he saved you, when he gave you forgiveness of sin, he made you a family member. And the family business is go into all the world and tell them how much I love them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples. Guys, I'm telling you, eternal life is now. You know, I went to a funeral yesterday. And I was a privilege to go to that funeral. And some of you are thinking, funeral, privilege, it feels more like an obligation. No, this was a privilege, because I heard family member after family member get up and talk about a man who had dedicated his life to Christ. Imperfect as he was, but yet devoted to Jesus, sharing the love of Christ. Every person in that family had something to say. They had to stop them all from getting up there. They were confident that this man had ended this life, but he didn't die. He's alive in heaven today. Man, it was a beautiful thing. Yeah, there was sadness and tears because they're going to miss this person so much. But they were not sad because they were confused about where he was. They're only sad because they're going to miss the relationship with him. That's very normal. But guys, we can be confident of a future with God through Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a culture that doesn't even want to think about death. We worship youthfulness. Do you realize that? People shoot injections into their face and get all kinds of surgeries to try to look young. Yeah. It was very refreshing. Did you hear Pastor Paul last week? He got up here and said, you know what? I'm 64 years old and this isn't getting looking any better. And you know what? That's great to acknowledge. This is where I am. I can be okay with who I am. Because we worship youth in our culture. So nobody wants to talk about death or aging or none of that. Well, Jesus wanted to talk about it. He wanted you to know that this life counts and there's another life after this. See, the Bible clearly teaches that without Jesus Christ, we are spiritually dead. But when we believe in, trust in, put our faith in Jesus, we receive a gift called eternal life. Man, we're born this way. People want to debate original sin. Were you born in sin or did you commit your own sin? I don't want to debate that. I believe in original sin. Adam sinned. We're all born in sin. But whether you believe that or not doesn't really matter to me, because it wasn't long till you sinned yourself. What do babies say? Mine! No! No! Mine! That's sin, okay? So it happens real fast. So we don't have to worry about what Adam did. You messed up. Now, are we good on that? Romans 3:23 says it. We're all sinners and we're in need of grace. But Romans 6:23 gives the antidote. It says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes! Have you ever felt broken? Have you ever felt dead? Have you ever felt in darkness? Jesus wants to liberate you. Jesus has life for a world that's full of sin. For every individual in this room, and every individual on this planet, God welcomes you right there at the foot of the cross. God's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you will do. He says, I love you. You were made in my image. Come and receive the gift that I give, that only I can give, eternal life. You know, Jesus made this audacious statement. No one comes to the Father in heaven but through me. He really made a controversial statement in a religious world full of all kinds of different religions where people think, I can go this way to God, I can go this way. Many paths to God. Jesus said, no, there's only one way. Wow. The question is whether you believe in that one way or not. Jesus isn't asking for your permission to be God. He is, and he will forever be. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, at one day, at the end of this world, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He will come one day in irresistible power. This is a season of grace where people have free will and they can do whatever they want. But someday, everyone who was made in the image of God will bow the knee and say, you are the Lord of the universe. Why would you want to wait and be forced? Why would you want to wait? Well, really, the answer to that is because I think I know better. I think the message in this book's archaic, and I'm not sure if it applies to my life today. I'm not sure if I believe there's only one way to God. There might be many. Well, that's the choice you have to make, isn't it? That's the things that you have to wrestle with. The Bible is clear. Jesus is clear. I invite you to come to Jesus today and receive what only he can give. Ephesians says it this way, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's by grace that you've been saved. From death to life. The book of Colossians speaks of the same thing. When you were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, God made you alive with Christ and he forgave all of your sins. I don't know where you can find a better message. Forgiveness of all wrongs, past, present, future. Nobody else in here is excited about that. Believing in Jesus takes us from death to life. The question is not whether that's true. It's whether you believe it or not. Have you accepted the gift of forgiveness? Have you put your faith in Christ to take you from death to life? That's the pivotal question for you. So how do I receive the gift of eternal life? It's real simple to me. ABC. Admit that you're a sinner, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Believe that Jesus takes away your sins and gives you eternal life, John 3:16. Confess Jesus as Lord. And Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, which is what we're here to celebrate today, then you will be saved. Saved from your own destruction. Saved from condemnation. Saved from punishment. Thank you, Jesus. I remember the day I got saved. What a glorious day. I'll never forget. Man, it was the greatest feeling in my life. Have you been saved? I love the way Romans 10:13 says, all who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We live in a culture that's very, very wishy-washy. Nobody wants to think there's any absolutes. Nobody wants to think there's one ultimate truth. Well, today you need to wrestle with the ultimate truth, that Jesus Christ is the only one who can take you from death to life. Opportunities here today, as simple as saying, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord. Jesus, I believe that you really did die on a cross to take away my sin. And I really do believe you rose from the dead. And that makes a difference in my life today. What a simple message. 4- and 5-year-old children can comprehend it. Thank you, God. It's not complicated. Maybe I can't explain it all with a scientific method. I don't need one because my heart tells me what I believe. The Bible says clearly, with the heart you believe. So what do we believe today, church? I know many of you are here because you're born again believers. You're like, thanks for the message. I did that a long time ago. But what does it mean to you today? Are you walking in eternal life now? Are you just saying, well, I'm good when the end comes, but until then, I'm pretty much doing my own thing? Well, I'd like to challenge that mentality today. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a follower of his teachings and one who fully embraces him as the master of their life. That's the call of Christianity. That's the truth of the scripture. I want to invite you guys to stand as we close the service. And here's what we're going to do in the next 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, there'll be a ministry team. We call them the altar team. They're going to come right up here to the front, and they're going to be available for you to pray with as soon as this service is over. But here's what I believe, guys. I believe, as I started this message, I believe the same thing, that God is speaking to every individual in this room. And for some of you, you need to respond by coming right up here and surrendering your life to Christ for the very first time. Some of you need to come and say, you know what? My passion for Jesus has waned, and I want God to put me back on life path today. God's speaking to us. Here's how we're going to close. John 11:25. You know the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus? This was before Jesus died on the cross, before he went to the grave. But Jesus made a really important statement to Martha that day, because they were really upset because Lazarus had died. And Lazarus went to the grave. And we know that Jesus came a little bit later than what they wanted, but he did raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the tomb. But here's what the conversation between Martha and Jesus looked like. Jesus came and said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then I'm thinking he probably paused for a minute. He looked Martha right in the eyeballs and said, do you believe this? I believe if Jesus were standing here in the flesh right here today, he would say the same thing to every one of us in this room. Do you believe this? That everyone who believes in me will never die. Oh, this life will end. Your body will decay. We're not made to be on earth forever. But when you leave this planet through what we call physical death, you will never die. This gentleman, I love the way the pastor ended the funeral yesterday. He said, this guy, he didn't die. He's alive today in heaven. Man, and everybody went, whoa! It's the best funeral I've ever been to. I hope mine's that good. I hope people enjoy themselves at my funeral. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. And then he looked right square in her face and said, do you believe this? And that's the question for us today. Will you bow your heads? Becca's going to lead us in a song. And I want you to take a moment to just think about what you just heard. To think about Jesus coming out of that grave. To think about, what does that mean to me? What does it mean to me today? For all of you in here, born again believers, years and years of following Jesus, would you think with me, what does it mean to me today to live an eternal life? And then for those of you who maybe you came to church for the first time in a long time, God is calling you to surrender your life to Him. Think about what God is saying to you right now. Come and say, you know, I've lost my way on this path of life, and I want Jesus to renew my heart. God is here, church. God is here, and He wants to touch your life. And these people right here have been praying all week long, and they're ready to minister life to you through prayer, through a time together. I know most of you will go home, but some of you need to come. And if it's your day, don't let it pass by. In fact, some of you have been sitting out there Sunday after Sunday saying, one of these days, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get prayer. Today's your day. As Becca finishes us in song, you can be dismissed. I hope that you'll come and avail yourself of the prayer that God wants to touch people today. He wants to bring you closer. For some of you, you need to surrender for the very first time your life to Jesus Christ.
Oh, praise.